What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Monday, the 12th of October. A very wet, dreary, miserable, grey Monday, the 12th of October. Hope you enjoy it. That's in England, of course. Some of you are sitting on the beaches in Bahamas and California, I imagine. Does my podcast reach those places? Who knows? Maybe you're sitting on a beach in Antarctica. Maybe you're an Eskimo. Eskimo. I'm calling them an Eskimo for now, okay? I know some people don't like the word, but a native of Antarctica. Let's call it that, or Inuit. We'll call it that. Anyway, wherever you are in the world, it's raining here. That's all I'm trying to say. But we just get on with it where we are because we're used to it. And we've also had to be, have the weekend has been shut in from 10 o'clock, kicked out the pubs. I went to a pub on Saturday night, and the Saturday night, it was freezing cold in there because they had the door wide open. Now, I haven't been to the pub since they started doing this 10 o'clock thing, but is that one of the rules where you got to have the door wide the fuck open so everybody's freezing their knackers off while they're in there trying to... You know, you're meant to have, at this time of year, you have the fire on and get it all nice and toasty and encourage people to come. That guy wanted everybody the fuck out of his pub way before 10 o'clock. It was freezing. It was a bit miserable, really. So I came home and carried on the party there. Party for one. But anyway, hope you've had a great weekend. If you've not been here before, there's videos, there's mini videos, there's YouTube. And there's the podcast, of course, which you are probably listening on. Donald Trump's back in the race. He came onto the balcony, didn't he, with his speech about he's beat COVID, he's immune, he's cured, all that sort of stuff, which is what you're going to be with the drugs that he's invested in, and everybody's going to get to try all these new cocktail of drugs. You experiment on the rat race. But anyway, he's back, and he's been saying he was going to open his shirt and reveal a Superman T-shirt. That's only Donald Trump would come up with something like that, I imagine. He's definitely a showman. He likes to... He's actually quite fun to watch, you know, because you never know what the fuck he's going to do. You never know what he's going to say, what he's going to do. He's unpredictable. He's tripping the press out. You know, and on Twitter, you know, he does all the shit on Twitter. It's all like a new experience, isn't it? Because all past presidents, you know, apart from fucking what they say in public, you don't hear nothing or the back behind the scene. But because he's tweeting and like getting involved and like slagging off anybody that slags him off, you know, he's a celebrity at the end of the day. He's a TV celebrity at the same time, and he's enjoying it. So, you know, I'm neither here nor there on who's going to get the presidency, but I like to find them funny either way. I did watch the Joe Biden thing the other day, actually, and, like, I don't know if he knew what was going on. He looked like he was fucking half asleep. He looked like he weren't up for it on the night anyway. So I haven't seen much of his campaigning. I'll have to watch one of these head-to-heads when it comes up. But maybe one of them can wear, you know, them... Superman costumes you wear to the fancy dress, the ones that are like the swollen, the kind of like build the muscles in them and that. Like one could be Batman and one could be Superman, maybe dress them up. Let's make it the pantomime that it is. But anyway, I don't even know when is it. It's in a few weeks' time, isn't it? So we're in the run up. I'm in England, but everybody's all interested in what's going on, don't they? Because for one, it's funny, it's entertaining. For two, one of them might be dangerous and could fuck up things for the rest of us. So we don't want the knock-on effect. But he keeps referring to the China. He's very anti-China. He's not digging them at all. He's the China virus, the Chinese virus. I wonder if he gets the Chinese takeaway. I bet he don't fucking get near it, does he? He likes his Mackie D's, he likes his good old American McDonald's, Mackie D's and French fries. That's what he said that have kept him alive, the French fries. Probably what has gave him that orange tint as well. Celebrities have shorter marriages than the rest of us. Celebrities, the divorce rate is for famous newlyweds is two-thirds higher than for other couples. Of course it is, the famous, they're under the spotlight and... half of it's fucking sham weddings anyway, isn't it? They get married because it's all a hoo-ha, gets in the press. The celebrities, they just want to fucking shoehorn their fame out of anywhere, any crack and fucking crevice. But they, you know, they get married to another celebrity. Obviously, they're going to get a few legs up in the press. They're going to get a few more eyes on them, wanting to know who they are, what they're about. Half it's a show, isn't it? So once you're in one of them, you just think, oh, fuck this. People are running around taking photos of you all the time. That's the last thing you want. You wouldn't want to be a fucking famous celebrity couple. It's got to be like... imagine if you were trying to... I remember the pictures with David Beckham when he was at a basketball game. Everyone's taking photos, and of course, there's one photo of him looking at a cheerleader's arse. That picture's gone all around the fucking press and everything. Like, it might have looked... You can't not look at a cheerleader's arse if the fucking they're running around in front of you on a basketball court and you're in the front row. You can't avoid it, can you? You know, unless you're looking at the ceiling, trying to do your best to be like, you know, Mr. Fucking, I don't know, like trying not to let the press get one on you. But then they take about 2,000 photos a minute, don't they? And then one of them, they're going to catch your eyes looking at that. Next thing you know, you're an adulterer and you're putting the fucking pressure on your relationship. Yeah, fuck that. Relationships are much a pressure on themselves without that fucking shit going on. Journey, what's it called? No, rock classic Don't Stop Believing by Journey, ironically, is the most loved driving song by Journey. Don't Stop Believing has got nothing to do with driving, but Journey, the band Journey, is the, ironically, the best driving song. Not mine, I'm afraid. Sorry, I'm not going to... that's nowhere near my... In fact, it's fucking a song that I can't fucking bear to hear. So the last thing I want to hear when I'm driving... What else is in there? Second place was Fleetwood Mac, Go Your Own Way. That one's all right. And Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. Nah, I'm not a big fan of that one. It's all right, but fucking Don't Stop Believing. That's the cheesiest of all of them, isn't it? It is a good sing-along. I can imagine people belting it out as they're screaming at the top of the lungs as they're driving along. Driving along as well is the one place where you can scream at the top of your lungs and nobody can hear you. You can't really do that in your house, can you? You can't scream at the top of your lungs because your neighbours will hear you or somebody across the road will think fucking something's up and call the police. So you can't really belt out the numbers, but you can in your car. So I can see them giving it some. I'm trying to think what one I would have. Don't know, can't think. My radio's broke in my van. Well, it was in my van. I haven't got a van yet, but in my van, the radio is broke, so I used to have to just listen to my thoughts. And that is no fun at all either. I think Journey, the Don't Stop Believing, is a better thing to listen to than my thoughts. I might add. What else have we got going on? A bone-eating vulture with an 8-foot wingspan has brought traffic to a halt on a busy road. This is in England. The bearded vulture, which has the tuft of feathers under its beak. Swooping around in Peterborough. I didn't even know we had vultures over here. An 8-foot wingspan vulture. Fucking he's like, shows that the state of things when the vultures are starting to come over here and starting to see a bit of luck. Or a little bit of like, you know, licking the lips. Seeing people, or is that ironic? Not ironic, what's the word? It's kind of like a metaphor for the fucking state of the country and the state of people's finances and all that kind of shit. The vultures are flying around. I know the fucking bailiff type vultures and the banks and all that, they're circling, waiting for anybody to miss their payments, waiting for everybody to fuck up the landlords. They're all circling. We got vultures, we just got fucking vultures of a different kind. And the ones who fucking come and take everything off you. You got to be one step ahead. You just got to milk the system as much as you can and fucking squirrel it away somewhere. But just, you know, you got to play the game. They'll come for yours. Just fucking try and get their name and address or something and send some heavies around and say, you better fucking... That bailiff job you got tomorrow. Well, that's a bailiff job you're not going to have tomorrow. Otherwise, we're going to do the same. We're going to do an illegal bailiff raid on your house right here. Why we're here now. Could do, couldn't you? I love some of these Facebook videos when they people film the bailiffs at their front door, and they put it onto Facebook and that. Usually it's about an hour exchange where people know their rights and they're trying to argue with the bailiffs, and the bailiffs are trying to... Because they're bastards, aren't they? They try and think... They try and throw all the rules at you, even though they don't expect you to know what you're doing. And some people are so like skilled that they've had the bailiffs around 100 times. They know all the fucking tricks to get rid of them. So it's good to see the battle of wits. Like a chess move, chess game. The con man and the bailiff versus one versus the other. And I love it when the con man wins. Oh, yes. Because if you've ever paid a bailiff, believe me, you're never going to be on a bailiff side ever again, or ever in your life. And I have, unfortunately. What was the next thing? The gene that makes men randy has been discovered in the brain for the first time. Aromatosis. It's called aromatose. Aromatose. That sounds like a good... can you get me some aromatose for Christmas? A bit of spray. I tell you what, my idea again. If anybody releases this fucking idea, perfume or aftershave called aromatose. Aromatase. It's my idea. Intellectual property rights. You've heard it here first. Aromatase converts male hormone testosterone into female sex hormone estrogen, which drives men's sexual desire. So there you go. When you're feeling a little bit horny, whether you're home or alone, or whether you're with anybody else, it's called aromatase. It's kicking in. So that's going to be a great name for an aftershave, isn't it? When I'm rich and famous, I'm going to fucking bring this stuff out and I'm going to have all the profits. They found that sexual activity in male mice fell by 50% when the aromatase was removed. We treat fucking mice like shit, don't we? They've removed the mice's sex drive. It's no fun being... The best one was the ones who I saw was having coke. They were giving the mice cocaine. Testing cocaine on mice. That's the party, isn't it? You know, if you're going to be a fucking lab rat, you might as well be the one who's having the drugs tested on them, and you're having a bit of fun. Not having your fucking sex drive taken away. The coke one, they were probably giving it coke and then throwing in a female mice and see whether it heightens their sex drive, and they're going for it, going at it like they were at a fucking, you know, as somebody would, I imagine. Wouldn't they? I don't know. So yeah, there you go. We treat mice like shit, but aromatase is a new aftershave that's going to come out, and I'm going to get some royalties. Right, last one. It's short and sweet. Where's the last one? A thief is pinching 48 bread rolls from a supermarket at 4 a.m. every day. Fucking, he ain't he's hungry. He's obviously hungry. Someone's left a note saying, "Can you stop stealing as you're being watched?" Well, you ain't stopping him, are you? Because he keeps doing it. And he's getting there at 4 o'clock. Maybe he's hungry. Or he's like the shittiest burglar or the shittiest thief going. All he comes for is 48 bread rolls. But maybe he's got 48 people to feed. He's a homeless dude and he's fucking skint. So, you know, if that's all they've got to eat, keep at it. It's hardly breaking the bank, is it? 48 bread rolls a fucking day from a supermarket. Come on. You should, in fact, at the very least, you should leave out some slices of ham and shit like that for him, so at least they've got a decent sandwich. But anyway, if you're like trying to get your work your way up the criminal ladder, I tell you what, robbing 48 bread rolls is not going to be any kind of kudos in any cell when you're telling your stories to the other bank robbers and, you know, gold bullion robbers and all that kind of stuff. 48 bread rolls is just not going to cut the mustard, and you're probably going to be the lackey boy from that point onwards. So keep that one to yourself. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. Hopefully you've enjoyed it, and I'll do another one tomorrow. See you later. Bye.